B-Pod Studios.
Don't do that.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Toucher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Billy Jaffe in studio. By the way, Kershaw not starting this evening, Johnny Wall game.
Walker, is it Buehler or Buehler? I always get it wrong. I think it's Walker Buehler.
Yeah, I think it is Walker Buehler. He is starting in game one.
And then Dave Roberts didn't mention a starter for game two, which is weird to also.
This is the Cardinals play today at 5, which would have been the perfect time to go to a bar by myself, but... These are the tasks that we have to do.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm fine. It's just today is the first day that I would have been like, this would be awesome. Tomorrow's Friday. Watch the Cardinal game by myself. Relax. But it's not in the cards, Billy J.
Come over for a seltzer. Not a hard one. Just a seltzer.
Sounds like a winner.
Yeah.
Awesome.
There's too many.
Party at Jaffe's.
There's too many triggers at the Jaffe house.
No, there aren't. Yeah. My wife's going to be out of town. You're going to be stuck with me and my kids. You're going to be miserable with me.
All right.
Is Surratt still with you? Is he still living over there?
No. He's gotten out. Okay. Long time ago.
I had to take a dump really bad one day after the show. And then around the corner came Surratt. And he wouldn't shut the F up. He just sat there talking and talking. And I finally just had to say, Doug or Judd.
That sounds right.
Jim.
Peter.
You didn't care at that point. You were holding so hard.
I said to him, Judd, I got to take an ass. He went, okay. He's a talkative fella.
He is. That's his job.
It's his job. He's energetic.
It's our job to talk, too, but I'm not always babbling to everyone when I see him.
Well, but you probably talk more than he does. You're working then. You're working.
Yep.
And you were on a time frame.
Yep.
Or
his body sounded, was working.
Right, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Well, all right. No, all good.
And he was downstairs for no reason. He just popped around a corner like some jackal.
Well, if it was a while ago, I'm sure he was finding his way around. You know, getting himself set. Now he's settled. 3 years now, third season.
Not long ago. It was about a month ago. But Billy Jaffe.
Good morning.
Good morning. Right, welcome back. Another season.
It's can you believe
just
it?
Just ended.
I know.
All right, so short off season. John and I were at Media Day. And all the players admitted that it sucked. That it was that short of an off season for them,
especially because they lost, right?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's why it sucked.
Well, I think that beyond that, it sucks because the other teams have a month. I'm talking about just specifically the off season, the shortness of it, not what happened last season.
I understand. No, I understand.
But that it really limits your downtime. That other teams have a head start. Because
recovery, your injury recovery, your mental recovery. You're absolutely right. It does. It's exacerbated by the unfortunate fact that they lost in Game 7. I guarantee you, last night's second game, technically, St. Louis wasn't saying that the offseason sucked.
Right.
St. Louis was saying, man, this shoulder maybe didn't, you know, I feel good. I don't know if I feel as good, but you know what? I'll take it because of what ended up happening. Couldn't agree with you more, though, Freddie. The Bruins offseason was short for a lot of these guys. The good news is that the Bruins seem to be healthy. I mean, the Krejci injury, Johnny just said in his update, is game-time decision tonight. I mean, literally, I'd be at 50-50 if he is or not.
I wouldn't play him, but Bergeron, and I'm sure you wouldn't either, but Bergeron... We talked to him and he played down the groin, but you have to figure that that's just going to
But that's not, him. You're right.
It's going to bother him for the rest of his career.
You're right.
Yeah.
I would think so too. It's going to have to be, let's hope it's not botherable, if that's the word, bothersome.
Bothersome.
But it has to be managed. And that's what it's going to be. You're right. It's going to be for the rest
of
his
career. Do you manage that by taking time off?
Yes. You manage that by taking time off, probably by doing even different rehab or different, not rehab, but proactive type measures.
Because I'd imagine when you have an injury like that, it could cause another injury. If you compensate.
If you compensate. And also, you end up just getting that wear down effect, too. That if you know that whether it's the groin or something, you know, abductor, adductor, that whole area, you say, hey, you know what? The constant stress of the skating and everything. He doesn't need nearly as many morning skates. Bruce knows that. Team knows that. You know, sure. I mean, that's going to be fine. They will manage it. They're going to manage a few of their guys just from the mere fact that they're in their mid-30s and not in their late 20s.
All right. There's a lot of hockey writers who I think have been almost too generous to the Bruins in their predictions. Maybe we're just kind of still have a bad taste in our mouth from Game 7, and we know how much longer and how short the season was that they played than everybody else. But there's still people who expect them to either be in the Eastern Conference Finals or even the Stanley Cup. And
Barry Melrose is one of them.
Yeah, and to me, that's shocking. So what are your expectations for this team when you see it?
This is the thing, Rich. If this time last year, as we sat probably in these very seats, the four of us, mm-hmm. right? We were talking about this team, and I guarantee, I know I said, I like this team. I think they're good. I mean, I thought that they could make a run. Did I think that they would beat Tampa when it was all said and done? I mean, again, I'm talking late September, early October.
No one did.
And right now, I have the same thing. I like this team. I have the same exact vibe, except we all know now that stuff can happen. What I mean by stuff, I mean teams that are dynamic, like Tampa, can get swept in the first round, right? And so we have that in the back of our minds or hearts that, hey, if these things happen, the Bruins are a really good team still. The Bruins' greatness is that a lot of the same guys, they still have amazing leadership. They really are. If the young guys, if I'm talking the McAvoys, Carlos DeBrust, et cetera, go down the list of five or six guys, if they elevate another step, that's as far as I'm concerned, that's how far this team goes. I mean, of course, injuries play. Let's just throw that out. That's for everybody. If that young core continues to develop and gets better at times than they were last year, I really like this team. Does that mean that they get out of the first round? Holy smokes, the beauty of the Bees is that they're great. The beast of the Bees is that they're in the Atlantic Division. You got Tampa and Toronto. 95% chance you're going to face one of those two teams in the first round.
Toronto seems to be very front-loaded.
They are.
They have, you know, three guys that I don't know how much of the cap.
Four guys over 40 schmil.
Okay, so would prove lack of depth? Did that cost them in terms of depth?
Not this year.
Okay.
This year, they're okay. They're going to be hamstrung probably after this year. They have at max a window that is cracked open, I would say, wide open for 2 years at most. They made a decision to sign Mitch Marner to $11 million, and while he's a great player, I mean, you look at the other contracts that were signed by the other RF restricted free agents in the offseason, and Dubas overextended himself, the GM up there. He almost admitted it. He said, well, some people wouldn't agree with this, but we did it. They're going to go for win now. That's what it is. They're going for win now. The feeling up in Toronto is this.
Bad timing, man.
Well, it just never works out.
With the Bruins and Tampa sitting in that division, bad timing.
Well, but here's this is what they think up there. This is what if they win a cup, which they haven't done forever, if they win a cup this year or next year, all will be forgiven when they have to trade one or two heavies, you know, and not have and then build up. They have a pretty good minor or prospect pool as well, so they're going to rebuild that way. And I think that they say, look, if we win, we've provided our fans what we promised all along.
All right. So I was reading a prediction. I might have been Haggerty or somebody. And I don't know who it was. It might have been a national guy.
Okay.
That said that McAvoy, Norris Trophy.
This year?
Yeah.
Love it. I don't know if it's going to happen. I did say yesterday.
I know you don't know if it's going to happen.
Could he? I mean, sure. I said on the NHL Network yesterday as they wanted us to pick a breakout player, and I picked one from the West, this kid, Rupe Hintz, who you'll see tonight. He's 6'3", 215, plays for Dallas. First year, last year, playoffs, he was a beast. He could have a 50-point-plus year, so keep an eye on Rupe Hintz if you got a fantasy pool, if you already picked it, sorry. And the other guy in the East, I said, McAvoy. And Barry, speaking of Barry, you know, Bubba Melrose, he said, oh, that's a real breakout. I said, no, listen to me on this. You know, I said, you're talking a guy who hasn't played more than 64 games in his first 2 years. Last year it was under 60. So health obviously is always, you know, going to be situational. But I said, here's a guy that if he can get 45 points, 40 to 45 points, instead of that 25 to 30, mm-hmm. elevate his game to that 40, 45 points, he's going to take over. We all know that he's on his way to being the number one guy for the Bees. We see that. but we're talking 22, 23 minutes. I want to see it elevated 24. Now, they don't have to play him 28 like some other guys, like a Seth Jones, 26, 27 of Columbus, or a Drew Doughty in L.A., because they have depth on their blue line right now. If they can get him to 24 to 25 minutes and he plays at the level that I think we all hope, want, and know that he can, I don't know about this year, Freddie, but I think in the next few years, you're talking about it for sure. He's got that kind of swagger to his game and that kind of skill. There's no doubt about it. He has to elevate the offensive side of his game. He won't get first power play minutes regularly because of Torrey Krug, and he shouldn't. Torrey Krug is one of the best power play quarterbacks in the NHL, but he could get more offense out of his five-on-five situation by shooting a little more, and Bruce is pushing the D to be involved even more right now. So I wouldn't surprise me if when Charlie reaches that potential, we're talking Norris finalist.
What's your feeling about Krug's contract? Obviously, he wants to be here.
There's
we talked to him yesterday.
Now, yeah.
And he'd like to be here for the long term. How far do you think the Bruins will extend themselves for him?
I think they'll put themselves into fair territory. I don't have a... I mean...
Like market territory?
Well, yeah, I think it will be market, but not...
Do you think he'd take less, and if so, how much less?
Well, I think he would take less with a nice term. And what I mean by less is he's not going to know exactly what he's going to get. I mean, he can surmise, or his agent, his people can surmise. They can say, well, geez, this guy got $8 million. This guy got 9.5. This guy, you know that he's going to be in a range. The question is, does he get that range on the, let's call it the lower end, to stay with the Bruins? So then the core of the nucleus of this team continues to stay together. That comes down to a conversation. What does he feel is qualified is that? I mean, you're not going to get him at six. If you have to pay 9 or 10, that blows things up for your team. So your
salary structure for this team, Krejci's the most at like 7.25, right?
And that was signed 5 years ago.
I know, but Bergeron. But the point is, the salary structure still stands. Marchand, Pasternak, Bergeron, none of them are making $8 million a year.
I know.
And that's not going to change moving forward. So you can't pay him that much.
Well, he might be the guy that pumps to the eight. But you have to understand the salary cap is significantly higher than when those guys signed their deal. At the end of his third year, Charlie McAvoy catapults to $7 million. So come fourth year of when he signs his new deal after 3 years, Johnny, he's going to be minimum seven. He'll be in the 8-9. Hoping that he plays like we think he can. Market value for Krug, again, I don't have an exact number. Let's call it 8-9. Let's call that. Does he take eight over term to stay here because he loves the Bruins and he loves Boston? That will be the question, I think.
Listening to him talk, the answer would be yes.
Yeah, but it's funny, we'll play McAvoy tomorrow, but McAvoy, I asked if he'd take us a bridge deal or would he give a hometown discount. He's like, no.
I mean... You know, he's got to make his money.
No, I wouldn't either.
But here's the thing: the player has to determine too. Does he want to wait until the market to see you? You don't always know which teams are going to be available,
right?
Or make themselves because salary cap, positionally, where are they already at? And then if you say, okay, well, I made my money, I got my, let's call it 9.5. I don't know, whatever. Because let's say he puts up 60 points again this year, he gets his big money. But he's going to a team that doesn't provide him with the same opportunity of this that the Bruins do. Well, I get it. I understand not wanting to take a discount, and I respect that because these guys are sole proprietors when it's all said and done. Every guy, every 23-man roster is a sole proprietor when it's all said and done in a very finite business. So, but we'll see. I think he's genuine, whether they get it done or not. Donnie and his crew, Evan Gold, Johnny Ferguson, all the rest of his guys have done a great job with contracts. Let's see if they can. And you know what? Everybody seems happy. Carlo and McAvoy, even though
they're happy.
They're happy. Yeah. So let's see if they can work that out again.
Well, I like you name checked people other than Sweeney. That was incredibly necessary of you. All right,
it's a group. It's a group.
Yeah, but who cares?
It just shows that you're on the inside and we're not.
I know that's all he's doing.
He's just giving.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let's hope Don Sweeney gets it.
No, it's too
Don
late.
Don Sweeney.
It's too late. It's
all right. Well, Billy Jaffe
or Donnie
joining. Yeah,
as referred to.
DS. Knee. What's up, Nee? All right. Well, Billy Jaffe, we look forward to talking to you throughout the season. We'll be back. Marcus Smart from Celtics Media Day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Before Jaffe leaves, obviously you can hear the Bruins games all season long here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. But, Billy, there's big news happening at NESN. Oh, I forgot to say that you work for NESN.
I do, yes. Hence, that's why we're here together. NESN, 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock, 8:30 face-off. But big day at NESN, new logo, new graphics, doing some stuff up. But the debut, the unveiling of the new logo, the ticket is no longer for the NESN, NESN logo.
They've told Billy to pimp this as if...
There we go.
The Bruins are secondary to the new.
Well, we did, you know. I threw out some names for the Bees. You guys gave me crap.
New ringside reporter as well.
Yes, yeah, Sophia is here. So
I saw her on the preseason.
Yeah,
where's she from?
Toronto, eh?
Okay,
she's from Toronto.
What happened to the one that was last year?
No longer here. Okay. I don't know.
She's probably going to go national, like everyone who goes on NESN ends up.
They just not hired or not rehired, and they brought in Sophia.
Okay. All right. Okay, Rich, you talked to Marcus Smart. You've talked to him a lot.
You've talked
to him
since. Yeah, check out the new graphics. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Take it easy. All right.
Let's go to Media Day. Here comes Marcus Smart, who, by the way, walking around in a bathrobe for some reason.
All right, here we go.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, and I'm loving this bathrobe. I don't know. Explain it. Basketball Hugh Hefner. What's going on here?
So I walk in to get my uniform on today, get ready for media day, and Andy tells me, "Hey, yeah, this is for you." I'm like, "What is this box?" He's like, "It's for you." And I pull it out to Rogue, and he goes, "Yeah, it's one of one." I say, "So this is what we're doing for the team?" He's like, "Nah, they just sent one for you. This is for you." I'm like, "Oh, okay." And I think it's just because, you know, last year, opening game, I decided to wear the Versace robe, and my teammate to tell you, like, throughout that year, the whole day practice and everything, I wore that robe to practice. I washed it, wore it, and that's just how it was. It was really comfortable, and I don't know, I just like ropes.
Does it make you feel a little more like sophisticated as you walk around? Can I get you some slippers?
Just a little bit. I'm missing my slippers. That's what I'm missing, the slippers. But it definitely keeps me warm, especially out here, and I love it. And as you can see, everybody's kind of staring at me, and they like it, so there we go.
And you switched the hair up, too. It's a completely new look.
We had the white afro with the black side that you and Sollinger had together. And then we shaved it all the way down, and now we're going. What are we going for here?
So we got the drop top braids, and I've been growing my hair out this whole summer, and just kind of messing around, just switching things up. My mom always liked when I did things with my hair and kind of experimented. So I'm just kind of trying to keep that tradition alive.
See, yours looks good.
Oh, thank you.
Let's talk about Jalen.
So the whole thing. So I'm still at all. With the whole Jaylen Brown thing. My agent sent me a picture and was like, did you see this? And I'm like, who is that? And he's like, it's Jaylen. I'm like, there's no way that's Jaylen. And I made a joke with him today. He walked by an AC unit and he kind of flinched. I said, yeah, it's the first time you probably need a beanie, right? So they got him wearing beanies now.
Did you see Isaiah Thomas, what he was saying on Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
They shaved the microphone off his head.
They definitely did it. The eraser off his head. But, you know, Jaylen, I'm happy for him. You know, it's a new look, and I'm happy for him.
Well, this has been an interesting summer because you became not only the mouthpiece for the team. Like, you were doing a lot of stuff on TV, and you were the go-to guy. But, I mean, obviously everyone who talked about the heart and soul of this team, you know, you're the first name that people mention. Like, you know, you're the culture creator. And almost like there's a responsibility now on your shoulders with these new guys to show them what it means to be a Celtic and how to make this year – the chemistry work. That's a lot of pressure. When that's pushed upon you, how do you handle that?
I mean, I love it. You know, it fits my personality. That's who I am. You know, I'm always trying to see what I can do to help somebody else, especially with this group of guys who's so young.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to take a lot. And, you know, the pressure aspect of it really isn't pressure for me because I know what I'm doing. So, and that's the only reason you feel pressure is when you're not knowing what you're doing. Yeah, I know, right? Look, see, you got Grant right here. Grant Williams in the house. What's up, baby? You like the robe. I'm going to get you one for your birthday, too. I got three people, so you the third one I need to get a robe for your birthday. See, look. See, feel it.
Yeah.
But, see, guys like Grant. So, you know, he's one of the young guys I gotta get ready to go. You know, we don't have that luxury of kind of just easing our way into things this year.
Yeah.
Because we have so many young guys that, you know, starting tomorrow, that it's work to work. They, you know, they're seeing me laugh. They're seeing me smile now.
Yeah.
But they're going to see a different side tomorrow.
You kick their ass, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So what? So it's on starting tomorrow. What does that mean for you guys? I mean, expectations are what?
For us, expectations is to get better. We all have a cumulative goal that we're trying to reach, just like every other team, you know, an NBA championship. But it starts with the little things, and it starts with tomorrow, you know, getting the terminology down for these guys. A lot of these young guys are going to hear some things that they've probably never heard in their life. They're going to do some things on the court that they've never had to do. And they're going to play positions that they've never had to play in. It can be confusing. So my job out there is to really ease these guys' minds and really get them to feel comfortable at what they're doing and knowing it in and out.
And, Marcus, from the outside looking in, it seemed like you were always Switzerland in that you were friends with everyone in the locker room. You know, you were somebody that everyone talked in a respectful way. And on top of that, you didn't have any enemies, it seemed like. But, you know, you would get on people if they obviously weren't playing hard enough. With Kyrie Irving, it seemed like you guys got along. When you found out that he had talked to Kevin Durant about playing together at the All-Star game, when did you know about that, and what was your feeling when you found out?
I seen it, like everybody else did, the little in the hallway thing that they had. I mean, and it didn't really affect me, you know.
Did you ask him about it when you saw it?
No, because at the end of the day, every last one of us are grown men. Mm-hmm. We have the right to do what we want to do. We pay our own bills. No, nobody on the team or another team pays your own bills, so nobody can tell you what you can and want to do with your life. So, and for me, it was just, if Kyrie wants to be here, he's going to be here.
Yeah.
Like, you can't force somebody to do something they want to do. You know, ultimately, if they want to do it, they're going to do it. So I wasn't really too concerned with it. My concern was trying to get this team up and going to start getting them back on the win streak, and I was just trying to do the best I can.
Yeah.
Is it a good thing he stayed in the conference, in the divisions? You get to see him a lot after all this?
I mean, I love Kyrie.
Yeah.
You know, I love him as a player, as a friend. You know, I learned a lot from him when he was here. And, you know, like I said, as a friend, you know, he was a guy that you can talk to. I know people probably don't think it or can see it because he doesn't expose himself that much to the outside world, but if you know Kyrie, you know that he's a great guy, and you know he's a competitor. And like I said, you can't control what somebody's going to do. They're going to do it or they don't, and you just got to live. You can only control what you can do, and that's, for me, was going out there and playing as hard and trying to get these guys going.
How many balls are you going to steal from him this season?
We'll see.
well, listen. Oh, by the way, how's the three-point shot going? It got better last year. We're on our way up.
We're still going.
You're still
going?
We're
still going.
Excellent. Well, we're damn glad to have you back. I'm glad to, once again, exciting team. The new guys are exciting. Great pieces they brought in. It's going to be a fun one.
All right.
Thanks, Marcus.
Thank you, guys, as always.
Bring one for me next time. I want a road next time.
98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
To be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Touchdown. It's on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack it up. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. All right, Rich. What are the things we've not gotten to today?
On this day, October 3rd, in 1995, a major pop culture event happened. Something that, for almost upwards of a year, was the number one thing that almost everyone was talking about. What was the thing that concluded today?
In 1995.
It
was a pop culture moment.
I mean, it was everywhere. It was the, I mean, one of the biggest stories of the year.
Okay, so I'm in OJ.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Ronald Lyle Goldman, a human being, as charged in count two of the information.
I was working at a bank at the time. I was a bank teller when I was in college, and we had a TV. Like, everyone was waiting in line, and business stopped when that happened. Half the customers are like, oh my God. And the other half were going, yeah, OJ's free.
In Atlanta, I'm getting the hell out of it.
It was crazy. And the people who were there who were upset and the people there who were happy about it did not want to be around each other too much longer after that moment.
I'm skedaddling out of that. That was nuts.
But
I was in my fraternity house in my room watching it with my roommate, Gil Grambois, who lives in Boston, who I have not seen since 2006 because he thinks he's too good for me.
He thinks he's too good for
all you? My other fraternity brothers in Rhode Island have reached out. Now
why didn't you reach out to him?
I did. I went out with him one of the first nights we were here.
Is he the Phantom Crapper?
No.
Okay, he's not a fan of Crapper.
What happened to that guy?
I didn't really know
him. He ended up becoming a preacher, as a matter of fact, I think. I think that was the case.
Maybe our show is too mature. Political.
Maybe it is. But we do know one thing, and that is unfortunate scenario and everything that happened with the OJ case did give us one of the greatest moments in television history.
I know what you're going through.
Do you? Do you have a son who was murdered? Ryan is dead! And it's like no one even cares. I turn on the TV and it's just OJ and Nicole. OJ and Nicole. It's like Ron is a footnote.
The way he says footnote kills me.
It is the best overacting in the history of television.
All right, so when I was watching it, I told you guys this is the worst acting I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I immediately stopped it.
Yep.
I have a theory. So the guys who made that like are super campy, and I think they told him, like, you're not giving enough emotion. Because there's no way he's that bad an actor.
Ron is dead!
And I think that they just coached him until it was just so phenomenally bad that it's like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes looks like Taxi Driver.
See, I just think that it was a guy who, like, this is my big role, and he went way over the top on his own.
Do you?
Yes, that is what I think, as a matter of fact. Guy playing Ron Goldman with fake mustache.
And you can't see his face. He's, like, just contorted. Ron is dead!
It's like he goes,
Ron is dead!
It looks like one of those, remember those little things that you would win at the state fair where you'd stick your fingers in the back of rubber, and it would be like a man's face that you could contort, like the Knot Man from the Anthrax albums. Yeah, that's what his face ended up looking like.
Ron is dead.
Oh, that was a great show. That really was great.
It was. I mean, Schwimmer was fantastic.
Oh, Juice. Come on, Juice. Somebody made a supercut of all the times he called him Juice, and it's like 5 minutes long.
Yeah. Travolta was tremendous in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole thing was a delight.
Well, Percy Harvin, for some reason, and thank goodness he did, he started talking on a podcast and basically started crapping on everyone.
It's because he's insane.
Maybe that is the case.
He was enabled at Florida to such a degree that it's almost hard to imagine.
It's Bleacher Report's Untold Stories was the name of the podcast. He did also say that he was high during every NFL game that he played in.
which is great. That's the least of his issues.
But let's get to him and his rivalry with a gentleman that we know, who we liked when we interviewed him, Golden Tate. And who returns this week, right? Golden Tate back from his suspension?
Yeah, Golden Tate's been getting a little bit of Twitter beef.
Yep. So here is Percy Harvin on the time that they got in a fight with Golden Tate.
When you got traded from the Vikings to the Seahawks, what was that experience like?
Those was probably the worst years of my life, just because it came with so much. My anxiety is that it's worse when I go into unfamiliar situations.
What do you recall?
Oh, really? I thought it was when you were in bed. Wait a second. You get a little bit more anxious when you're in unfamiliar situations?
I'm more shy when I'm around people I don't know.
It's like
I mean, your first day at work is more nerve-wracking than your 1,000th day at work. Okay, I get it. You're very, that's a very peculiar, you should get that looked into. The mind of Percy Harvin.
What do you recall as the worst instance of you acting out as a result of anxiety?
My worst one, I would say, you know, the Super Bowl incident.
Was it Golden State?
Mm-hmm.
Take me through that.
Thinking about it now, man, I can't even believe I did it. So we're down in the Super Bowl, of course, the year in New York. We were playing the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning, Golden, did an interview. I had just sat out the previous game with a concussion. So the question, how do you feel, you know, getting Percy Harvin back and, you know, getting some of y'all power back, you know, getting ready to play this, you know, tough Denver Broncos team. And the response was, we made it here without him, so, you know, whether he play or don't play, you know, we going to be good.
So how'd you respond to that?
I was so already wrapped up, it didn't even probably matter what his answer was. If anything he could have said, I still was going. What you know, I was already at 10, so him adding 10.5 or whatever else, I was already there.
You punched him into a laundry hamper? Did that actually happen?
Let's just say we locked up. You know, the owners had to come in the locker room, and the fact of the hitting them into the trash can and all that type stuff. It was true. Like I said, man, it was bad. That the whole situation that what we keep harping on is that's what made it bad, because it was team pictures that day, and you can see tents in the picture. You don't see like a team ready to play Super Bowl.
You gave him a black eye 5 minutes before the team phone. What happened next?
Beast Mode was a peacemaker, and he was kind of just like, yo, you know, Pete wants you to do this and that. Like, let's just do this, man, so we can move on, and, you know, let's just move on.
He punched him into a hamper.
Oh, no! Looks like I got company! Let's find out why they call you Golden, Taint. It's Tate. Ow!
T-A-T-E.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I thought you had a piercing. A nice little ring-a-ding-ding.
Now you know every time I see him, I'm going to think Golden Taint.
Yeah.
And I'm going to think of his piercing.
Yep.
Golden earring.
That's right.
Radar love.
We appreciate it.
That was a really good video.
Now,
White Lions version was better.
That's right. All right. So, that's a podcast. Does that play music behind the entire podcast?
Yeah, it plays the beginning of "Come Undone" by Duran Duran the entire time.
Okay, why in the hell would you play a continuous loop of instrumental music?
There, Fred, I was on a morning show, you know the one, it was when we first kind of got our start, that played music beds behind everything for the entire time. It would be like lounge music or whatever, and that's like,
everyone thought that was really funny at the time.
Yeah, did Pharrell start that? I mean, he did his like 4 or 5 hours with music behind him, right?
And then David Lee Roth destroyed it.
Yes, that's
because
right.
He brought in like
that's
the right. Most obtrusive.
But I mean, Pharrell was the
music.
First talk show I ever heard that had all the music behind him.
I think Pharrell, why that worked is because he was so spastic.
Yeah.
That like having like heavy metal music on in the background kind of like fit everything. And everything is so hectic. Like, you know, you're the man. Like, all right. And he's just like so scatterbrained because he has like $1 million on all the games.
Right.
And, like, oh, no, the Penguins. Okay. Oh, what? Straight out. What? He's like all over. So I think that worked. But I mean, I couldn't listen to something that had a continuous loop under it. Because at least Pharrell, they were different songs. Like, this is just a loop. Like, why do you think that makes it better? It makes it insufferable. I haven't heard a podcast that does it.
Well, that one apparently does.
Yeah, but everyone you play me has these stupid beds under it. Let me run ESPN for 5 minutes. I'd fire half the people, and I would fire every production person. I don't know what they're thinking. All right, you got one more here.
Oh, you go and knock out another one? As a matter of fact, he's been shot several times, but it's not going to keep him from returning to the postseason. David Ortiz is going to be on the MLB on Fox starting this weekend. Returning to his post, doing commentary afterwards. Him and I believe A-Rod together, as they've done before. Frank Thomas as well. And it will be his second public appearance ever since throwing out the first pitch.
I can't understand what he's saying.
David Ortiz?
Yep.
I can't understand what he's saying.
I've heard him talk enough where I understand it.
I know why they have him on, because he's so gregarious and charming. But in, you know, the $1 million smile, but I found it very difficult to understand what he's saying. Remember when we interviewed him and it was just like, it was a bad phone connection.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And it was just like,
that's different. Yeah. Cause with the phone, it's different.
Right. But no. I have trouble understanding what he's saying. I have to like lean in. So, but listen, it doesn't ruin the experience.
No, but absolutely not. But one thing also that might, your experience might be ruined, and that is if you bring your kid to go see Joker and think it's going to be just another comic book movie. As a matter of fact, one theater chain is making it pretty clear about what people are to expect, posting a rare critical sounding assessment of the upcoming film on its site, the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema, which is now a chain. They have put a warning out there that said, quote, "This is not a joke. Joker is rated R, and for good reason. There's lots of very, very rough language, brutal violence, and overall bad vibes." The warning continues. It's a gritty, dark, and realistic Taxi Driver-esque depiction of one man's descent into madness. It's not for kids, and they won't like it anyway.
I just read a review that said it was a Taxi Driver ripoff.
Well, I mean, it's I mean, I think that he watched a bunch of Scorsese movies, it seems like, yeah. and even like, you know, with the King of Comedy, put De Niro almost in the exact same role, it seems like.
But I don't understand why people are pointing at this film and going like, "Oh, there's going to be all this violence."
Well, because there have been people who have threatened violence.
I know, but that's why. I mean, there's been.
It's not because of the message of the movie. It's because people have said, "We are going to go to theaters."
But, I mean, art is going to, you know, disturb people. But
what is this movie a lot like?
Mysterious love, mental illnesses.
Yeah, there's a lot of those. And
I mean, John Lentil? I forget his name.
John Lentil.
By the way, in the review I read, it says that he wears a thing around his neck, like a laminate that says, "Excuse my laughing, I have a brain injury." So very subtle. Bird really got into the subtleties of the character.
Yeah. You read that review?
I read the Time one.
Yeah.
Where she says no art can create violence, and then like hints around that this is like just abject violence for violence sake.
And then it goes on and on and on and on and on, and I just lost interest in the review altogether.
Why do you guys read big reviews before you see the movie?
I'm probably not going to see this movie.
Yeah, I'm not going to see it in the theater, and I'm just curious. Yeah. I'm going to watch it on the website someone gives me where you can stream
movies for free, right.
That's not nice. A lot of people worked hard on that movie, Fred.
Yeah, and you know what? Todd Phillips needs my money. I'm really looking out for
him. You're thinking Todd Phillips. What about the guy who painted the set? You know, he's making...
He doesn't get a cut of the film.
Yeah, but I mean, if you continue to rip off studios, then they can't afford to that guy to do his job anymore.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm special. I don't need that nonsense. All right, we'll find out what... Yeah, he is. We'll find out what Zoe and Bertrand have coming up on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talk sports. Toucher and Rich. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
98.5. The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I just got I requested a massage from Mr. Zolak.
Oh, yeah.
And he got a... Oh, yeah.
Got in there good.
That's right.
Yeah, what were your words to him? Uncle Scotty's going to make it all better?
You had him on. You had him on the floor.
Oh, my goodness.
And leverage. Was that an elbow thing?
Did the elbow up top. I did a total upper spine adjustment to him.
Okay. Was that Alex Guerrero approved?
Yeah, Alex said that to me. You want me to do you?
Hell no, I dude. I've had one of those Alex Guerrero ones. And it was it worked, but doing it was the most powerful, the most painful thing ever.
Like you feel the tension up. A little bit. Like if I could have worked on you for an hour, I really could have got in there.
Yeah. You're not trained to do that.
Sure I am.
You are?
Why do I need to be trained? I've had it done to me. I know exactly how to do it.
So the cracking in the back is a good thing.
Oh yeah. That releases all that pressure. I did Billy Landing Ball. I mean, it was like trying to crack a beach ball's back. Like normally when you lie flat the person, you can at least feel the spine. Billy's like,
I actually
Jay Stewart, like, how do you crack a hump?
I actually have the audio of that.
If you don't know, that audio is great because it's a guy who's, and a lot of you won't know this, but there's a guy who's speaking in tongues at some weird church, and Rich found it, and he picks up a cell phone and gives up on talking in tongues.
Right, at first he's like, oh, you know.
Have your way.
He just starts going, blah, 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 and then he just like looks at his.
He just sits on his cell phone
and just gives up. And by the way, somebody threw this suggestion out there. I know that we had done Master P and a couple more. Let's, once again, Mike Lockhart doing his magic. Antonio Brown.
We've gotten more mileage out of two farts.
Oh, man.
Anyone of all time.
Any excuse to bring him back out.
All right.
What do you think of my intern over there? Our new intern. Nate.
Hi.
I've nicknamed him Windhorse. That's his new name.
Oh, that's a good call. Yeah. That's a really good call.
Right, Windhorse.
Oh, my goodness.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. How you been doing here?
That kid will run circles.
That's great.
He's been here 2 weeks. He'll run circles around Bird.
I find that very difficult to believe. Bird answers the phone occasionally.
He is Windhorse.
You get him, Windhorse.
Spectacular.
You just find out where LeBron's going.
Oh, you got to tune in on NBC Sports to catch this guy.
He's in all the time, John. We put him on all the time. We rename all our interns. We don't call anybody by their name.
Okay, go over the names of the people you've had in the past.
God, we had Bubba the intern. We called him Muffin Ass. He had a big fat ass. Like
what'd you call George?
George, the people's champ.
Okay.
George was the walking pop-up store at the mall. Smelled like cigarettes and Jacquard Noir, like your grandfather's trunk. God, the other interns. Who's the one intern? Kenny, Jim. We call him Kenny from We're the Millers.
You only had one nickname for an intern. We don't have intern because most of our interns are pretty good. But yeah. There was one guy that you didn't know his name. We just called him Gappy.
We had this chubby kid. We had this chubby kid from BC, and he played the drums. He was in a BC band. We called him Flounder because he actually looked like Flounder from Animal House. I wanted him to put a beanie on.
Gappy.
Wow. I remember that.
All right.
Whatever happened to Gappy? Mike, do you remember Gappy?
Jeez,
we rarely have interns. They're usually pretty. They either get hired or they, you know, go to other shows. Usually,
yeah. All right, what do you guys got going?
Except for Gappy.
We start with Gostowski today. Kickers are coming in. Got a couple names and stuff.
Yeah,
interesting.
Get a stunt kicker, kick an 80-yard field goal.
I like that
Absolutely.
Guy.
Absolutely.
4 points for those. I think if Wiggy said that, right?
Yeah, that's right.
4-point field goal.
All right, everyone, have a great day. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.